97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Back it is. Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk. Hope everyone's having a great hump day. We are joined this segment by Jeff Mordock. He is the White House correspondent for the Washington Times. Jeff, great to talk with you again, my friend.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me back, Joe.
Hey, so Trump is back from Scotland, and he announced some pretty big tariff news with the EU, but he also announced some tariffs on India. What's the latest in the tariff game?
Well, there's a lot of tariff news today. It's been one of the more proactive tariff days we've had from the president in a long time. In addition to slapping the new tariffs on India, he also just announced a little while ago that he's going to put a 50% tariff on all goods coming in from Brazil. And that's really interesting because it's part of his aggressive trade war, but it's also to send a message to the Brazilian government because he has complained about the unfair treatment of their previous president, who was on trial for contesting an election. That president was a close ally of President Trump's. And he's been very angry. So it's interesting because it underscores that Trump is not only using this as part of his trade campaign, but he's also willing to use tariffs to make a political statement. Another interesting thing is that the president today, as part of his trade war, closed loopholes on small goods being imported into the United States. That's goods less than $800 that typically, because of the low value, don't get tariffed. Now, that exemption has now been waived. So he's really ramping up this trade war ahead of his August 1st deadline with these nations to try to strike a trade deal.
And that is Friday, August 1st, Friday, yeah. When that deadline hits. Jeff, there was good economic news today. I mean, I know a lot of the mainstream media tried to avoid it, but is the White House talking about the good news that came out?
Yes, the White House is talking. I mean, they're really the gross domestic product has expanded. It's expanded well beyond what people thought. And that is great news because that was the key argument against the tariffs was, oh, it's going to limit gross domestic product. It's going to be it's going to really hamper development and economic growth. Economic growth, or the growth of the gross domestic product, was forecast at 2.3%. We hit 3%. That is a stunning number over the projections. I mean, usually projections come in at 2.3 and everybody's excited if they come in at 2.5 or 2.6. But to come in at 3 is just incredible. And it's interesting because despite this good economic news, the Federal Reserve, you know, clearly did not want to change interest rates, not even take them down a half a point. They still seem to fear that inflation we're not past the inflation. And I thought it was kind of interesting because I watched Jerome Powell's press conference today where he talked about how we're past the inflation of 2022 and all of that, but he doesn't seem to be confident that we're fully past it yet. And I think that is something that's not going to help the economy. I know the president has urged repeatedly for them to cut interest rates. He has asked for them to bring it down from 4.5 to 1. One's a little unrealistic, but I mean, even a full point or half a point, you know, it's somewhat surprising. It's not surprising, but it's something that, you know, I think they could have done, and I don't think it would have hurt the economy too much.
You know, Jeff, we see this tension with the Fed and the president and Jerome Powell. I mean, what, if anything, can the president do? I mean, can he get rid of Jerome Powell? Is that in his power?
No, it is not. The Supreme Court has ruled that the president cannot get rid of a member of the Fed because it's an independent board unless there is malfeasance or wrongdoing that's uncovered. And that's why you see the president all of a sudden hammering Jerome Powell over the renovations to the Fed's headquarters. I don't know how much you've been following that, Joe, but it's really interesting. They've run I think it's $7 million past budget, which they've blown past. And if you look at some of the plans of what the Federal Reserve wants to do, the White House has compared it to the Palace of Versailles, and they're not that far off. And all of a sudden, has Jerome Powell's become more resistant to rate change? We've seen the White House focus more and more on these renovations, and they're trying to make the argument that he's mismanaged these renovations. He's bungled them. He's lied to Congress about how much it was going to cost and what they're going to do. And they're trying to use these renovations as the tool to get rid of him. It'll be interesting to see how effective that is. That's why you saw last week President Trump went to the Fed headquarters and toured the renovations with Jerome Powell. Jerome Powell, you know, it's interesting. He's a Trump appointee from the first administration. I'm kind of fascinated by all the people from the first administration that Trump has soured on. I think that's kind of interesting. But, you know, his term, if they can't prove malfeasance or wrongdoing, his term is there until May of 2026.
Wow. Wow. Now, today and over the weekend, it's Wednesday, throughout the weekend and through the week, we've heard of Canada, France, the UK saying that they will recognize Palestine. Is the White House reacting to this? Canada's the latest to throw their name in there. Has the White House said anything about that?
No, they've been very mum about it. And what's interesting is the president, when he was in Scotland on Monday and met with UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer, who, as you mentioned, is a big proponent of this, of recognizing Palestine. President Trump was asked directly where he stood on that, and he didn't give an answer. He kind of dodged the question a little bit. I know how much, you know, he's clearly aiming for that peace prize. He clearly is trying to get peace in the region. And I think right now he's just trying to stay mum and try and figure out what is going to end this war. I thought it was interesting. It was one of the strongest breaks from Netanyahu we've seen, when the president also in that same press conference came out and disputed Netanyahu's claims that the starvation in Gaza is overblown or that they're fake pictures, and has really sought to downplay it. The president has strongly pushed back on that, to the point that the U.S. is going to set up food centers in Gaza to help bring bring food shipments into the people there.
Yeah, something we'll definitely have to keep an eye on. You know, Jeff, you were there for the previous administration, and before we went on the air today, Kamala Harris saying she's not going to run for governor in 26. I mean, Jeff, with everything we saw in the election, with, you know, how invisible she was in the previous administration until Joe Biden stepped down, can you imagine, is she really thinking about running for president again?
Well, that's what this move clearly signals, that she wants to keep all her attention on the White House in 2028. I mean, we'll see. I mean, right now it's the obvious names that will be in competition for her for the Democratic nomination. But, you know, 3 years is a long time in politics, so who knows? But this is somebody, look back, everybody, when they talk about her and her political future, focus on her performance in 2024. But I think what's more telling is to go back and look at her performance in the 2020 Democratic primary, where she crashed and burned before even winning a delegate. That campaign went nowhere. And I don't know why they think 2028 is going to be any different, because they keep trotting her out and the American people keep rejecting her at an incredible rate.
You know, I look at the Democrat Party, and like you said, I mean, all the signs of Kamala Harris, but I mean, this is a party, in my opinion, you're closer to it, you're there in D.C. I mean, this is a party that's really struggling to find an identity that's not just, if Trump says it, we're the 180 of it.
That's exactly right. What have you heard from the Democratic Party? And look at what the Democratic Party is paying all their attention to right now, which is Epstein. And, you know, there are certainly a lot of questions we need answered about Jeffrey Epstein. There's certainly a lot of confusing statements coming from the White House about Jeffrey Epstein, and all that needs to be gotten to the bottom of. But at the same time, are people still struggling with inflation or the economy, or that prices haven't gone down to the extent that they have? Are they sitting at home at their kitchen table worried about Jeffrey Epstein, who's been dead for 6 years? And that's all you hear from the Democrats all for the last 2 weeks has been Jeffrey Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein.
Speaking of Jeffrey Epstein, do you think in the next month or so something will be released from the DOJ?
I think we have. I think there has to be. I think there's too much pressure on them, and there's too much pressure from both sides, as well as Trump supporters, not to release something. The question is, what are they going to release that's going to satisfy people? They've released a lot of stuff. Most of it was stuff we've already known, stuff that's already been covered. They had that big event at the White House where Pam Bondi released Epstein files to a bunch of conservative podcasters, and there was nothing new in there. And you saw almost a mini revolt from those podcasters about the lack of new information. So the White House has to be very careful, because they can't keep releasing stuff that we already know. They have to give something new. I don't know that anybody knows what there is that's new that they can give to help shed light on things. You know, the Justice Department has now gone to these federal courts to try and get the grand jury information released. One, it takes a really high bar for grand jury information to get released. And it's almost doing it because you knew a judge was going to block it, and then you can throw up your hands and say, well, we tried, you know, we couldn't meet the bar, what are we going to do? But on top of that, one of the things we have learned about the grand jury testimony is there's no victims who testified. There's no associates who testified. The testimony strictly from law enforcement, FBI agents, et cetera, talking about their investigations and what they did in those investigations. So I'm not entirely sure that we have anything new to learn from law enforcement. So we're going to have to get something more than that.
Jeff, quick here, because I'm up against the clock, but is there pressure on Pam Bondi? I mean, are there people in the administration that want Pam Bondi out?
Yes, there are. I mean, just look at the back and forth that's been going on between her and Dan Bongino. He took a day off of work in protest of his frustration with her. You know, Trump seems to be backing her. Trump seems to be constantly expressing support for her. But yes, there are people who are in this administration who are frustrated. And a lot of those people are making an argument, which is that people like Bondi, people like Dan Bongino, people like Kash Patel, the problem here isn't that they're covering things up. The problem's on the front. This is what the argument is. The problem's on the front end that they shot their mouths off without evidence, and now they have nothing to back up what they were saying. If that argument is true, we will eventually I hope we eventually find out at some point. But that seems to be the argument for getting rid of her, that this constant overpromising and building things up only to have it deflated because they just don't have what this was built up to be.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Jeff, always great stuff. Appreciate you. We'll talk soon. All right.
I always enjoy it, Joe. Thank you so much.